Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Responsible Entrepreneur Podcast, where we talk with entrepreneurs who are changing industries, various social systems, cultural paradigms, and how we govern ourselves. So they cover a broad range of ideas. And if you want to know more about that, you can check the Responsible Entrepreneur book, which talks about how I see people doing that from 15 entrepreneurs I have worked with closely.
Well, welcome, everyone. We have a very exciting story today. I am going to let these folks, as I usually do, introduce themselves and the organization, and then we'll dig in more to what it's about, why it's so unusual, why I invited them here today. So why don't you get started? Palmyra, why don't you introduce who you are and what your role is, what the name of the organization is, just to give us a little grounding, if you would.
Sure, thank you. My name is Palmyra Figueroa. I am actually an immigrant from Mexico. I've been living in the United States for 15 years, working in philanthropy and nonprofit organizations most of the time. I work for Social Justice Fund Northwest. This is a Seattle and Portland-based organization that is a membership-based as a foundation that addresses inequities and injustice in our world. We try to do strategic community funding, engaging many people, so the systemic change comes about by many hands and many people working on it. I am a campaign manager. What I'm doing right now with the organization is I'm trying to raise more money so we can give more money to the organizations that we support.
That's great. That probably gave us a start. We're going to come back and dig in a little deeper. Jessica, introduce yourself and your role, and maybe a little for you, why you chose to get involved with this organization.
Sure. I'm Jessica Green. My role at Social Justice Fund was as a participant in the Criminal Justice Giving Project that just wrapped up last month. And I work in philanthropy. I'm a fundraiser at my day job. And I've been interested in participating in one of these giving projects for years because it's a model that I haven't seen before that kind of flips a lot of the power dynamics that traditional philanthropy has and really looks at what does it mean for a community to come together and fund the change that our world needs.
That's great. Palmyra, why don't we go back and let you tell us a little more about how the organization works, like how it's structured, how you're structured to carry it out. We'll get deep into the process of involving in campaigns, but how in the world does this come about and get structured so you can have this really unique model of working?
Yeah, Social Justice Fund has been around for 40 years now. It has not been working with this model for the 40 years. We started this model in the 2000s, but this organization has definitely been working on a democratic process for grant making since the beginning. That was why it started, because a group of people decided that the way philanthropy was working didn't feel just or fair for them, and so that's the reason it started. Through the years has been changing. Of course, it's been a long time, 40 years. This actually is our anniversary. This year is the 40-year anniversary for the organization. And as I said before, we support small grassroots organizations that are doing ground organizing. And by that, we mean we want to build power in communities that are the main recipients of oppression. By saying that, that's very broad, but in general, we get the applications from mainly organizations that are led and supported by people of color. That's one of the main reasons we fund systemic oppression. And so the way we do our grant making is through we call it anti-racist and humanistic process. And it's called the Giving Projects. And that's what Jessica did with the Criminal Justice Project. So we create these cohorts where people apply to be on a giving project. We try to make them as diverse as possible, both in class, age, race. And so the process is in the system democratic. We are trying to do this through a 6-month cohort of work. The Giving Project participants learn about the issue. So every Giving Project has a different issue. Jessica went through the criminal justice. We're about to start a gender justice one. We're also about to start an environmental justice one. So we have different projects through the year. The Giving Projects are mainly about 20 to 25 people. And they learn about the issue. They work together in to move money strategically. They work to build community, which is very important for us. That cohort builds community among them. They engage in grassroots fundraising, which is a way to raise money through the people you know, through the issues you care about.
All right. So I want to come back in a minute and ask you more about that community building and what that looks like. But yeah. I want to get Jessica, just so people can feel how real this is, to tell us about why she wanted to get involved and how she went about it. Maybe even, Jessica, a little bit of what had to go on inside of you in order to participate in this, because it was a pretty big commitment, right?
Yep.
So talk a little bit about your own personal experience of living out what Palmyra was just describing, you know, in kind of structural terms.
Yeah. So the Giving Project is a 6-month commitment. And the reason why I say I've wanted to do this for a long time was I knew that there was something special happening here. These were people who had a really sophisticated analysis of the problems and solutions in our society. But I also knew, as a fundraiser, I'm doing fundraising 9 to 5 during my work week. And so it took a bit of a shift for me to say, okay, now is the time that I'm actually going to be doing more of this outside of my work hours and show up on weekends and nights and have these hard conversations with friends and family who I am not as used to raising money from as professional contacts and donors who are connected to the organization that I work for. And though I know that problems of mass incarceration and institutionalized racism I've known about that for a long time, like many people after the last presidential election, it was a bit of a slap in the face of, okay, stop making excuses. You can't just go home and make yourself dinner and be comfortable at the end of the day. You have to step up your game a little bit. So that was kind of the turning point where I said, okay, now is the time that I'm going.
And why, given that there were many options, why did you choose the criminal justice challenge?
So I had recently read a part of Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow.
Yeah.
Because of my own privileged background as a white person, as someone who's grown up middle class, I knew in theory why the criminal justice system was unfair and targeting communities of color, but I hadn't had it as explicitly laid out for me in that way where I saw the politicians who I had voted for complicit in this system and just how intentional the whole system was as a means of oppressing specific communities. So that's one of the reasons why I chose criminal justice. I also felt like going into this, I wanted to learn about a topic that I didn't know a lot about. And I felt if I had signed up for environmental justice, I also care a lot about that. And I see how interconnected all of these issues are. But I wanted to pick something that I felt like I didn't already have some significant experience with.
Okay. So Palmyra, I said I wanted to go back to this community because that's part of what was really fascinating to me as I listened to Jessica talk about her experience. Why do community building and how in the world do you do that? That's something we talk about all the time. We should build communities, but I think you have figured out some interesting ways. But start with why that's an important part of the funding of these kind of initiatives?
Well, part of the idea of building a community that supports each other and learns together is because we believe that that's the only way that the systemic oppression is going to end, or we're going to be able to fight it together as a community. That's one of the reasons. The way we do that is we try to build a community that understands and learns together around race and class and how those divisions are set there to make us believe that we do not care or cannot fight for the same issues, or that we do not belong, for example, as Jessica was explaining, in a place where criminal justice, even though it's not affecting me, I learn with others how much it's affecting my own communities where I live. And so the building community part, it's building and learning at the same time, and at the same time deciding that we together can do something about it. For the small organizations, those that are in the fields fighting against it.
So one of the questions that I ask a lot, I grew up in a very racist household, and I became very mindful of it when I was incredibly young. I don't know why, but there were several things I could not understand that made my father so incredibly racist. And one was like, how did his mind get there? And I'm wondering if you could help us understand a little bit more about where your experience and learning is that's kind of roots this racism, classism, and genderism, and then how you are able to create conversations and ways of working that make us able to talk about an incredibly difficult conversation to broach.
Yeah, I think that the main experience during the Giving Project, it actually starts with race and class conversations, and they are normally very difficult conversations, and we try to be gentle, but at the same time, we really try to give the right information to people and to do it in a way that they put themselves in the world where they belong. So we start with an exercise where you put yourself on your class background. And we do like a line of the people, and you can choose where you are depending on how you grew up. Did you grow up wealthy or not wealthy? Did you have enough? Did you not have anything? And that is a very telling way of, as an experience, as you were saying, your experience growing up is bringing you back to those experiences and experiencing as now as an adult with all the learnings that you've done in your life, how that impacted you as a human being. How is it positioning you in the world? Both in class and in race. And around race, we definitely talk about the systemic way the United States has oppressed brown and black people and how that has affected everything, the way they can grow up in everything, in economic and social and behavioral issues. And of course, in an issue like criminal justice, how it is incarcerating them. In much bigger rate than any other race.
Are you able to talk about how, even if you grew up in a more privileged way like Jessica did, that you are affected by that racism and classism? And
exactly.
Give us an example of how you spark that conversation. It's not just great that you have a good job and you had all the opportunities. You actually are diminished by that.
Yeah. I think that the way we definitely do it is also making sure that everyone understands how, for example, things like redlining impede people from buying a house, and how if you grew up in a middle-class neighborhood that was predominantly white, most everyone owned their homes, for example. That's just a crude example of like how different our lives can be if they are or not oppressed by a systemic problem like racism.
Okay. So Jessica, yeah, I would love to hear your response to this, but I'd like to hear how it affected you to have these conversations, to be in this thing called community, a learning community.
Yeah. So I think I have had more experience in my life and trainings around racism and my white privilege, and I continued to learn throughout the process in this Giving Project, where my own assumptions, where I'm at and how I can grow and be more conscious. I had never really gone through that same process around class before. And I think when I started talking about this, I said, you know, I was privileged as a white person with a middle-class background. But what became very clear in this process was that everyone in the room considers themselves middle class, that we all think I'm in the middle, regardless of whether you are or not. And so doing that exercise and realizing, oh, I'm actually on the lower end of things. And though I grew up getting a good education and having enough to eat and eating organic food, realizing that my parents didn't have savings in the bank, and a lot of that came from the generosity of grandparents, and generational wealth is also a privilege. But it was really eye-opening to see some of my own values that I have considered innate to either myself or my family or my cultural background. It was very powerful to see, oh, those actually came from where I am in the class spectrum, and other people in this group who were raised in different countries, who come from families with different cultural backgrounds, who identify as a different race than I do. We all shared the idea that education is the primary path out of poverty towards success, above clothing, above fancy cars, you know, that other people who pertain to different parts of the class spectrum didn't grow up with those same assumptions. So that was powerful to look at my own background from a new angle in that way. And it was powerful to not just have the conversation theoretically, but be working through it with other people in the group so that it was very concrete and rooted in our own experiences.
Palmyra, let's go back a little more, give people a little more in-depth about the process. How does the process get carried out so that people are doing this learning committee, but they're also interfacing with organizations that they're raising funds for, right?
That's right.
Give us a lot more of the story about how it's structured and why it's structured that way.
Yeah, the giving projects are, as I said, cross-class and multiracial, and they're structured in a way that people gather 9 times over the course of 6 months. They do workshops, they do trainings, and they develop, as we were talking about, a shared understanding of race and class, and also about their own power within the society, or at least we wanna accomplish that. Right. Each person also makes a meaningful financial gift, so that's where the funds come from. The funds come from the people that are part of the giving project. We ask them, through all the learning that they've done, that they should do a meaningful gift themselves. Once they are committed in, like, all their time and also their money, they go out, and through the training that they get, they go out and ask for meaningful gifts from the meaningful people in their lives. And so that is also part of the building community piece that we were talking about. And each member is trained in the grant writing process too. They're trained on how, in general, philanthropy works and how different the way we do philanthropy is. And we also read and score proposals. So people get to read all of the proposals we receive from the organizations on the different issues. And then they visit these organizations. I think it's between 2 and 3 each person that visit, they get to engage with the people that are making the work possible, And so that, for me, it's been, I think, that the most amazing part for almost everyone, just to get the opportunity to go to these organizations, see the work.
So let me make sure I understand here. They are, the organization they're visiting are the ones that are actually figuring out how to help fund.
That's right.
And so they get an experience. What does that do to go visit those organizations? And we'll get Jessica to respond on what it did to her. Mm-hmm. But why have you structured it so they go visit? Because most people don't go visit. You know, like, I give money to the ACLU and folks like that. I've never visited them. What difference does it make that you are having the people who, like Jessica, get involved actually go out? And how does that work when they go into those organizations?
I want to be very brief because I think that the experience should be told. But I think that the main thing for us, visiting the organizations, gives you a perspective, especially going through the training that you just went through, because you are able to see your privilege before getting to that space. That's the first thing. You know where you're coming from, and you know that you care about those issues. And now you're going to get to talk and listen to the people that are on the ground working in the front lines.
That's great.
With those issues.
So Jessica, give us an example of some place you went that really had an effect on you and what that effect was, you know, what you think the power is of this way of working from personal experience.
Yeah, so I got to visit three different organizations with a small cohort of my Giving Project members. And I think what was powerful, I'm thinking of the first site visit I went on was up to Bellingham. We visited an organization that is run as a collective. They do advocacy for farm workers in the northern part of Washington state. And it is fairly common, I think, at least larger grants, that grantors will go and site visit as part of their grant-making decision process. But my understanding from being on the other side of working for an organization that would receive a site visit from a potential grantor is that it's kind of checking things out. Do you meet the criteria? Do you pass muster? And I think what was really powerful about the site visits that I went on is it was really, we are going to learn from you because you are on the front lines. You are the ones who are living this reality. And it is much less about us going to judge you. And it is much more about us going to learn from you and then bring your story back to share with the rest of the group. Because we're splitting up and going in small groups, we definitely thought of, okay, we're going back to our group to advocate on your behalf, share a more visceral experience of your work and your reality. And I think for me, what was most powerful about this site visit was getting a very tangible experience through the 2-hour conversation that we participated in of how is this organization run? How do they live their values? And it was very evident in the conversation that every single person who could be there was in the room, unless they were out in the field working directly with farm workers that day. Everyone had a chance to speak and to share their experience of the work and their interpretation. And we left feeling like, oh, this is an organization where everyone has a say and is able to participate. And it was palpable how thoughtful and how interwoven their values were in every piece of how they ran a conversation, ran a meeting, thought about their work.
So two follow-up questions. One is, how did that change you when you left? And then I'll ask the second one. So we were there, we did all this, we left, we went back. What changed for you as a result of being there?
I definitely went back to my own life with this idea in the back of my head of this is a way, like I carried the concrete experience back with me. So as I was going to meetings at my work, I was thinking, oh, this is how I normally do things, and contrasting it with this is how I saw things happen in this other space. So I feel like I not only learned about the organization and their struggles, but I also found myself comparing other parts of my life and using it as a bit of a standard, mm-hmm. Or a measure. I was also just able to really emotionally feel the experience of communities who have a very different challenge that they face, you know, being targeted by ICE when they're working, when they're at their job, you know, doing their work, the kind of intimidation tactics that they were talking about that were used by the police to intimidate protesters, you know, one person said they were told by a police officer, oh, First Amendment rights don't apply here because we're outside of the city. You know, those kind of things where you can read about it in a newspaper, but until you have a one-on-one conversation with someone who shares their experience with you, you're not able to like really viscerally understand the experience of someone who lives a different reality every day.
So let me build on this a little bit. This show, The Responsible Entrepreneur, and my work is about thinking, that you have to fundamentally shift how people think. And where one idea we talk about is external considering. And we talk about there's a range of ways you can consider others. You can take them into account. The minimum level is you can be kind, and we should do that to everybody every day. It doesn't take a lot of effort. Just, you know, don't be mean, be kind. The second level is you can have empathy. I actually can feel what you feel. And I don't necessarily do anything about it, but I can feel where you are and I don't deny it anymore. The third level we can go to is compassion, where I actually want to ameliorate the pain or confusion or gaps or, you know, lack of opportunity. I want to put myself into that. And then the fourth in the level, of course, we work to help people gain is caring. And caring means that we want to help them change their own situation. It's not in the compassion we do something for them, but in caring, we really move to the level we want to increase the power they have in the world, the capability they have in the world, the opportunity they have in the world, not to do it for them, but to actually give them capability. When I first heard you describe this, and as I listen now, I can feel that the process itself is moving people up that scale. I know you've seen those terms before. Can you relate to that so that our folks who join in here to listen and learn about thinking can feel how those different things can affect you?
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about that shift from the time, you know, in that one day where four of us got in a car and drove for 2 hours from Seattle up north, and kind of that's, you know, moving from this abstract idea of what this organization does. We'd all read the grant. And it had their story written down, but the shift in the span of the time it took for us to walk in the door, see the radical art hanging on the walls in their office, have the human connections around a table for a couple hours, and really be there actively participating, but letting the members of this organization take the lead and kind of take us through what their work really means. I think I could see my idea of who these people were going from kind of a flat idea of who they were and what they did, where I felt like, okay, I understand the situation and the basic idea of what they're doing, to, wow, this is a really complex, multifaceted issue. And they say they're working on food, they call themselves a food justice organization. And what does that really mean? And are they doing political advocacy? Yes. Are they working to buy land and build a farmer worker owned cooperative? Yes. Are they providing legal services for people who need them? Yes. And all of a sudden it took them from outside of this box to like this living, complicated organism that so many truths were true of. But my understanding just became so much more nuanced, and that was only in the span of 2 hours. I can't even imagine if I like actually worked with them.
And when you were describing this moment ago, I can feel the difference inside of you in terms of not just wanting to give some money to these folks or raise some money, to you actually want to figure out how to help them succeed, how to help them create the transformations. And that's kind of scale I saw with this organization that excites me.
Yeah.
We are getting close to being out of time, but I want to make sure first that if Palmyra has anything else she thinks we didn't cover, we should say, but also to give people some resources and a way to reach you. Because I think this may stir up some folks who would say, wow, that feels like a much more living way to be engaged. I'd like to know how to do that. Could you help us do that?
Yeah, for sure. We cover five different states. We are a Northwest region organization, although we just do giving projects in Seattle and Portland. You can find all the information on our website. It is www.socialjusticefund.org. We also, if people are in other states or cities, we are a part of we call it a learning community, where there's other organizations in the nation doing this kind of work with giving projects. We have connections with them, and all the information is also in our website. But they are in Philadelphia, Denver, Chicago, Minneapolis, and New York. So there's other organizations doing similar work, and we actually have a coalition. We work together for these giving project processes.
And I assume that anyone who would like to reach out to you and get involved, you, it's not like you come in and you evaluate them. You're really trying to pull more people in.
Yes.
So we want to encourage people to reach out to you if they're at all touched by this and they see the power of this particular way of taking on the world. All right.
For sure.
You want to add anything else about why you would suggest people join, reach out, and get connected here?
I would just add that participating in the Giving Project is one way to get involved. But as Social Justice Fund Northwest is a membership organization, and so you can also support the work by directly donating to Social Justice Fund Northwest. They have all sorts of events throughout the year. So I think there's lots of ways to get to know the work and the organization and the people before you decide to take the leap and commit 6 months.
Right. That's good to know. Let's do the website one more time just so people know how to go find you.
Sure. It's socialjusticefunds.org.
Great. Well, it's been delightful to have both of you. I'm glad to know a little more. I was really excited when I heard Jessica describing this. We will do our best to help tell your story and help people find you. Thank you so incredibly much.
Thank you.
Thank you.